This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to the latest edition of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show with myself, Nigel Seeley, and our senior ATP Tour handicapper, Sean Calver, over in Madrid for the Madrid 1000, brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. And if you followed the show over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that Sean is over there in Madrid. He's been posting away on Instagram on his day out today, his first day watching some tennis, and he cashed some tickets. Well done, Sean. Brilliant. You must have been loving it.
Yeah, it's all right. I always like going to Spain. I mean, the weather could be better, obviously, but... you know, it's nice. It's you sitting there in the tennis in the sun watching the tennis, and you know, backing a few winners. What's not to like? Well, I'll tell you what's not to like in a minute. Actually,
I was just going to come on to what's not to like. Now, I don't know if anyone had seen Sean's post on Instagram today. He had a little bit of, on Twitter as well. He had a little bit of complaint about school children being around. You know, shouldn't be allowed. He wasn't happy about that, was he?
No, I don't know why they do this.
That's what the generation and the future of the sport is. The people want to see this.
They're not, though. That's the point. You won't see any of these kids at the actual court side. They're all just what they're doing. There's this little section. The whole place is weird, to be honest. It's like watching tennis in a multi-story car park. It's bizarre. If you've not been, it's a really weird layout. It's this big old metal box, like a cage. It's on about two or three different floors, and you never know which floor you're on because they all look exactly the same. And some courts are up and some courts are down. Then you've got to go down to get out. Then if you want to go to the toilet, you've got to go back up again. And there's a section where you come in where all the players get dropped off by the cars. And that's where the kids are all day. That's all they're doing. And they're screaming their heads off. It's like a Beatles concert from about 1964 or something. They're all there, about 400 of them, waiting for the players to come in, yelling and screaming at the top of their voice, waiting to get their ball signed and all this. None of them are watching the actual tennis. That's the problem. And they're legging it left, right, and center and trying to get everyone.
Why is that your problem? You just don't go to the area.
You can't not go to that area. That's you have to go past there to get to the outside courts. So you take your life in your hands going down there because there's kids legging it around all over the place. I'm not happy about it.
I saw a few kids high-fiving you on the video today, was clapping your hands. I thought they just might back John Leather's truth last week.
Well, they're about 10, aren't they?
I don't know. I'm not promoting. I just wonder why they've got people high fiving you.
Some of them recognise me. I don't know.
Maybe. Has anybody recognised you? Has anyone come up to you and said, "Oh, Sean Calvert from"?
No, not today. No. I'll tell you the other thing I'm not happy about, by the way. This is a more of a legitimate complaint, really, rather than just me moaning. You can't get any water anywhere without paying for it. Every single tennis one that I've been to, and probably you've been to, there's water available. If you take a cup or like a little paper cup or a little bottle or whatever, you can fill your water up. Not here, not a chance, nothing. You have to get, it's $2.50 if you want water. And you know, it's hot. It wasn't hot today, but who does no water in Madrid? 32 degrees. It's you know, I'm not happy about that either, but there you go.
Well,
You can go on,
and you can follow Sean's tales in Madrid over the next few days on the Instagram account at Because We Win. Remember, there's some really, really good stories on there, and also some really good bets as well. No, forgetting about the moaning, we had some nice bets today, nice winners.
Oh yeah, I'm not complaining. Gene
won the first set.
He won the first set. Obviously, he won the match as well. It's just typical, isn't it? I backed him to win the first set. Yes, he did, but obviously, the bigger price would have been.
But
to
why didn't
to
you go straight to the bar and just have a San Miguel and just celebrate the win rather than sort of wander around and complain about?
I got things to do. I've got videos to record. I've got data to
video,
look at.
Video it from the bar when you're drinking the.
I can't do that.
If I celebrate.
I have not had a beer today at all. If I have a beer, it's it then relaxes you, and then you, it's difficult to do the work. I've got to do the prep work for this show, and there's all sorts of stuff going on. I can't sit there boozing. People want to hear info, and they're not going to get it if I sit in that. It's a very nice bar, actually. It's the Estrella bar. It's a huge, great thing. It's quite nice. So people won't be able to get the info if I'm sat in there all day. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're not saying get in there all day. You can go in there after you're having a plus one. You can have a half.
Was about 11 o'clock celebrate. In the morning, though. That was too early. It was about half 11, that was.
It's whatever. It's sometime somewhere in the world. We're watching this, and it'll be acceptable time. So don't worry about this. Don't celebrate. Don't worry about the moment, about the conditions. Anyway, just before, if anybody has followed this show over the weekend, you would know that Sean is obviously in Madrid, as I said earlier, and he's staying at a very, very lovely named hotel called the Arsehole. What's it like in the Arsehole? Is it nice?
It's very clean. It's clean.
You've got a clean arsehole.
Very much so. It's all right, actually.
Rather red arsehole, I can find the sound of things.
Well, it's got red. The walls are red. Yeah. It's nice. It's very small, very compact and bijou, but good Wi-Fi. Beautiful location. It's like 30-second walk to the public transport, which, as everybody knows, I do like to use, and I'm using here in Madrid to get around. It's great. Yeah, I would highly recommend it if you're staying.
So you're recommending the Arsehole.
I'm recommending the hostel. I think it's Arsehole if we're being technical.
But you called it the Arsehole. I did, not
because
me.
That's that was just an obvious gag, wasn't it? Okay. So I had to kind of put that in.
You're recommending it. Okay.
If you're ever in Madrid, you want to stay centrally. You know, look no further.
What are you paying a night there?
Not a lot, I can assure you. it's about 50 quid a night, I think. 50, 60 quid a night.
Fantastic value. So if you're looking for Arsehole in Madrid, $50 a night, you can get it. You can get it with Sean Calvert.
Very much recommended. You can't go wrong, I don't think.
Anyway, let's move on from there. Today's action, the weather, as you saw, you posted the stuff there, we in and out of the weather. It's sort of got quite warm later on today. You had to go and buy a jumper.
I did, yeah. Luckily, there's a Primark around the corner. So I didn't want to make it an expensive edition.
I've
already
like
got
a dream ship. This is dream.
I've already
Primark,
got
the hostel, no drinking.
I've already got no about water. Four of these. These Fantastic. Jumpers exactly the same at home. So I didn't want to go to like the North Face store and spend about 200 quid getting another one, which I've got identical to what I've already got back home. So I thought, pop myself into the Prime. It's too cold to go to the tennis in the t-shirt, which is kind of disappointing when you're in Madrid. But when the sun comes out, it's nice. You have to get the sun cream on. But then 20 minutes later, it's gone behind the clouds again, and it's a bit chilly. I think it's going to be slightly cooler again tomorrow. There's a cold front coming from Greenland, apparently. Which has made the temperatures all across Europe. I don't know what it's like back home. I'm guessing
horrible.
Yeah, wet, there you go.
Freezing.
Blame Greenland. Cold front coming in from
they
there.
They get the blame for a lot of things. Greenland. They get the blame.
That's
for
where
a lot
it's come
things.
From.
It's Greenland.
That's where it's come from. So slightly cooler again tomorrow. About 17 degrees. I don't think there's going to be any sun cream needed. And my 11 euro jumper will be needed. Yeah, I think so.
If we were looking at the results on day one, not so much today, but you know the big servers, yes, they really struggled. It was the traditional clay quarters that come through. Do you think this weather is actually playing a little bit of impact on the conditions we expected or the trends over the last few years?
Possibly, but I still think it's quick. I mean, I've been sat there today. I still think if you hit your spots on your serve, you will get your rewards. I must admit, I haven't looked at the results of the big servers as of yesterday. But no, I still think you can get rewards for attacking tennis here. Absolutely.
Okay, let's move on to tomorrow's action. And the action starts very early, around about 4 o'clock Eastern time. But the first match we're going to speak about is Talon Griekspoor against Tara Daniel. Now, this match actually starts at 10 past 10 a.m. Eastern time. So enough time to get up in the morning and place your wages. And obviously, if you don't do, you can make sure you head across the website now, and you can watch the match as well if you place the bet early and you're not heading to work. Griekspoor here is minus 275. Tara Daniel is plus 210. The spread is 3.5. Griekspoor minus 3.5 is minus 110. Tara Daniel plus 3.5 is minus 115. And the total here is pitched at 22.5 with over minus 103 and under minus 124. They've met once before in 2022. Talon Griekspoor won that on a hard court in Winston-Salem, 7-6, 6-3. They were the conditions that would probably suit Talon Griekspoor a bit more. He's had a very, very poor record on clay over the last couple of years. But equally, these players aren't really... I wouldn't really fancy either of them really on a clay court. Griekspoor, though, has been nibbled at in the market very slightly. Bit of money for the Dutchman. He is -275. Surprised you picked this one out personally, Sean. I didn't really think this would be a game of any interest to anybody, but clearly for you. What do you like here?
I think Griekspoor's too short. By the way, talking about Winston-Salem, I saw somebody with a Winston-Salem hoodie on today at the tennis. First time I've ever seen one of them in my life. It's a long way to come, isn't it? Winston-Salem to Madrid.
Or he's picked out from a charity shop in Madrid or something like that.
Possible. This is actually too short for me, Griekspoor here. Looking at their clay records, last 10 matches on clay at main level, Griekspoor, service points, one and return points, one total, 98. Taro Daniel, 99. So he's already behind. I know I've said in the past that clay records aren't that important, but this match, when you're in Madrid, because it's obviously quicker, but this match is going to be played in the evening, isn't it? So it's going to be slower. I don't think Griekspoor is going to have things all his way here by any means. Taro Daniel's already had a match versus a big hitter in Vukic in round one and won it. I just feel like it'll take a while for Griekspoor to get on top here. I mean, the last time they met, as you said, it was in Winston-Salem, 7-6 in the opening set for Griekspoor. Griekspoor's got very little experience of playing here. He's only played one match, and that was a retirement. Also after an opening set, 7-6. Now, I was in Marrakesh last year watching Griekspoor at slight altitude, and he was all over the place. Really struggled in his first match against Elias Ema, I think it was. And then he played Roberto Carbajes Baena. Struggled in both matches to find his range. So I think if you're backing Griekspoor, you said he's been nibbled at. I find that very surprising. I think if you are backing Griekspoor, you want to back Griekspoor, I suspect you'll get a bigger price in play. It's one way you feel like Griekspoor might get on top and edge it in the end, but on a clay court in the slowest conditions of the day against someone like Taro Daniel, who's already had a match here, it feels to me like Griekspoor, as I said, will probably edge it, but over 10 and a half games I thought was a very big price here. +230 over 10 and a half games in set one, +230 with Bet Rivers. That feels like a decent value play if you're going to get involved in this match later on in the evening time, because I think Griekspoor will take a while to find his range at this tournament.
We have 28 different markets available with BetRivers, and one of those is the first set totals, and over 10 and a half here is the lean. Or is it official bet? Or was it lean?
Yeah, it's a lean. It's one of my theories, whether you take them on board or not. But yeah, I think that's a big price. Griekspoor would be absolutely delighted to walk off here 6-4, 6-3. He'd sign up for that in a heartbeat. I think this would be longer than that.
Yeah,
over 22 and a half possible as well.
Yeah, Griekspoor's a player that always you want to be betting. First set tie break, you know, his record in tie breaks is exceptional, probably more in the faster surfaces. But this, as we know, is being played at altitude. And, you know, despite the results that we've had over the last couple of days, you would expect the big surface to do well here. So overs is our lean there. Over in the match is -103, 22 and a half, over 10 and a half in set number one, whichever way you want to play, over 9.5. Or go to the BetRivers website and move the little toggle across on the total games. You can get the line that you require. Okay, let's move on to our next match. It's Holger Rune against Navarro. Holger Rune here is a heavy favourite, -265. He's not in the greatest of form, is Holger. Navarro is in great form. He's $2 to win this match. The spread here is 3.5. Navoni is -106. Holger Rune giving up 3.5 is -121. And the total here is pitched at 21.5 with over -120 and under available at -107. Navoni has been, like I say, he's in sensational form. Did very well in his first round match to beat Popperin, where Popperin was bet very, very heavily in that first match. And Navoni stopped the trend. He got through to the final in Bucharest. We know Rune got to the semi-final in Munich, got beat by Struff there. They've never met each other before, but if you look at Navoni's record on clay this year, he's played a lot of clay tournaments, 20 wins and 7 losses, but obviously a lot less opponents than what here. And Holger Rune is a player that is in the sort of a transition stage of his career. He can either go one way or another over the next 18 months or so. What do you like here, Sean?
I think Navone's been a bit underrated here. If you just have a look at the clay stats over the last 12 months, they're virtually identical. Slight advantage, actually, to Navone. 71% win rate for him and a service points won and return points won total of 103, a service hold and break total of 107. Very, very respectable numbers on the clay from Navone. Rune, 72% win rate, very, very similar. Also a 103 service points won and return points won total, and his service hold and break total 104. So there's no advantage for Rune if you're just looking at those statistics. Rune is another one who's very inexperienced in Madrid. He's only played two matches. Both of them went to final set tiebreaks. The first one he won against Bublik in a final set tiebreak. The second one he lost in a final set tiebreak against Davidovich Fokina. A lot of these guys that have had a bye in the first round, it's not really an advantage here in Madrid. You want a match under your belt, really, before playing someone of the quality of Navone. As you said, he was a very good win against a big hitter in Popirin in the first round.
He dismantled him, Sean. Popirin had an early break in set one. I watched it. Do you know why I watched it? Because I bet Popirin, because I thought at altitude he might have a chance.
Yeah, Popirin, I think he was underdog. Then he became favourite, didn't he?
Popirin was starting the match around about minus 150. But he was absolutely outclassed. Navone played exceptional tennis, especially in the second set. But I suppose Popirin dropped his head. But there was no answers to his game. And Navone played really, really well. I thought the altitude, I thought it would suit Popirin, but it didn't. Yeah. Navone played really well.
It's a fair assumption to assume that Popirin would be favoured by these conditions. And he's got a great record on clay over the last year as well, Popirin. So I can see why. I would probably have backed Popirin if he was underdog. He was actually underdog for that match when I first looked at it. But then the money came for him and you know, the value had gone. So that wasn't of interest to me in the end. But, you know, Rune's coming in cold from a dreadful performance in Munich, where it was obviously very, very cold. I think Navone's been slightly underrated here. I think this could be another one where if Rune is to win this, he's going to have to do it the hard way. So over 22 and a half games plus money, plus 112 it was earlier when I looked at the BetRivers website. That is the one that would be of interest to me. I think this is another one that's being played slightly later in the day.
Over 22 and a half games, did you say there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still there, plus 112. The line we have here on the graphic is over 21 and a half games, which is minus 120. So you can play the overs whichever way you choose. And remember, this match starts at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. So you have plenty of time to have a bet on this match. And that match, is that an official pick? We're going for official
picks up next.
We got the best. The best will come last.
It's a very tricky card, this, I think, for Friday. There's a lot of ones where you think obvious overs and tiebreaks like Hurkacz and Draper, Taylor Fritz, Dardari, things like that, but there's no real value in it. I think the Hurkacz Draper over 10 and a half was something like 2.3. A little bit too obvious. So I've gone I'm trying to find the value elsewhere, really.
Okay, so the value is elsewhere. We're talking about four matches. We're giving you two leans. We've got two more official picks to come. And remember, if you want to have a bet, BetRivers are offering a tennis net gains daily parlay boost. Score more value on your tennis parlay each day with the BetRivers net gains profit boost. Log in every day to claim your profit boost for a tennis parlay, then make your tennis parlay of at least three legs. Each leg must be of odds of minus 150 or longer. Depending on your loyalty level, you'll get a boost of at least 25% and as much as 50%. See the BetRivers app for more details and grab your parlay boost. Now, we're talking about two leans. You might want to put them in the parlay because now we've got this is the business end. This is where we make the dollars. We've got Artur Fies up against Daniel Altmaier. Fies is minus 177, a very talented Frenchman who is always, always overrated by the books because everyone expects him to be a superstar. Daniel Altmaier is a proven clay court. He's plus 140. The spread here is 2.5, minus 115 for Fies. Giving up 2.5, minus 110 for Altmaier, +2.5. And the total here again is quite high here. It's 22.5. Artur Fies is always, always very heavily bet. If you look at the head to head between the two of them, they have met three times previously. It's 2-1 to Fies. One of the wins was in Barcelona this year. He won in a final set match, 6-1. And he also won in Auckland at the start of the year when Altmaier retired. Previous to that, Altmaier beat Fies in Paris. Probably a match you were probably at, Sean. 2023 might have been that match.
I was there when it went on. I think yeah.
I was in the dungeon.
I was in the lower dungeon. Yeah, I was in the lower dungeon at the time, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Fies is a player that has got bags of talent, but the market loves him. They absolutely love him.
He's too short here. I mean, I don't know whether they're just looking at last week's match in Barcelona. Very, very different conditions. You know, Fiese is very up and down, as I'll come on to in a minute with his statistics. Altmaier made the quarterfinals here last year. Goes well in the cookie conditions on the clay. Likes it bouncing nice and high up. Those are the sort of conditions that he enjoys, Altmaier. And he did say, actually, it's always nice when you get a quote from a player who sounds like he's really fancies the job. He said, "I played Fiese last week in Barcelona. I'm really looking forward to playing him in these conditions." So that suggests to me, as well as the statistics, that Altmaier fancies this. If you look at the last 12 months on clay at main level, there's nothing between them in terms of their service points won and return points won totals. Both are on 101. The head-to-head, the series that you just talked about, Altmaier leads that in terms of the service points won and return points won totals by 101 to 99. So he's had the better of the series, despite one of those matches being a retirement where he obviously couldn't perform his best, and another one being on indoor hard where you would normally favour Fiese. So, yeah, again, I just feel like Fiese is just, as you said, being overrated. It's another one where the underdog is coming in having already played a match here. And, it's so important in these conditions. So he's used to the conditions. He's obviously going to be pumped up for this. So plus 123 about Altmaier winning the opening set here is the way I'm going to go. He's obviously the class act, you know, the class horse, if you want to call it that, in the race. But he doesn't always produce his best. You know, lost against, was it Lajovic beat him last week, I think, in Barcelona, if I remember rightly. It was Lajovic, wasn't it? Similar type of player to Altmaier, actually. He doesn't produce often enough, and he shouldn't be expected to at his age. You know, he's a developing talent, Fiese. He's not the finished article yet. He's not going to be winning week in, week out. So he shouldn't be, for this match, he shouldn't be as short as he is as far as the stats are concerned, and the circumstances of Altmaier already having played a match here first.
Yep. So what's the angle then? Where are we
going?
Angle
is first set to Altmaier, plus 123.
Plus 123. So Altmaier is plus 140 on the money line, plus 123. Remember, you can watch live and bet live with Bet Rivers on this match. It's an early one, this one, 8:20 a.m. Eastern time. But we're both in general consensus that Artur Fiese at minus 177 is the most likely winner. But at minus 177, he is no value
it's
whatsoever.
Too short.
It's far
Much
too short.
Too short.
For a player who's done well here, Altmaier's good well. Proven clay court. I know it's a little bit fast, but he's got a great record here. Quarter finalist last year. I move on to the next match. And this one features our main pick. He is our tournament pick to win this tournament. It's Alexander Zverev. It's a brilliant record here. But I suppose really this may look a little tricky. The opponent here is Borna Koric, who's capable of beating anybody on his day, but he doesn't have many days. That's the problem for him. And then really on clay, you wouldn't really want to fancy Borna Koric. Zverev is minus 455 with Bet Rivers. Koric is plus 330. The spread here is 4.5, which seems quite generous, but Koric is a very heavy favourite, minus 155 in that market. Zverev is plus 120. The total here is 21.5. Now, my first reaction here is I think Zverev will come through, but I think it might be a long one here. Over is minus 129, under is plus 100. If you look at their previous meetings they played in Miami a long time ago, 2022 was the last time they met. But most of these matches have been long matches, lots of tie breaks between the two of them. They're big servers, the conditions will suit both of them. We expect Zverev to grind him down and win it, given his record here. But this might be a little bit longer than most people expect. Are you in agreement with me here?
I am. I think this is a very short price for Zverev, around about 1.2, minus $5, isn't he, roughly, to win this match? Not for me. Zverev is a notoriously slow starter in tournaments anyway, as we know. Last year, he lost the opening set of his opening match to Roberto Carbajal Baena. The year before that, he dropped the opening set of his opening match to Cilic. And now he's got, for his first match, he's got a guy who's beaten him four times in Borna Koric. I know they were on hard courts, but even so, the head-to-head, very, very close in terms of service points won and return points won totals across all of their meetings. Koric on 99 total, Zverev on 101. So a very slight advantage to Zverev. However, Koric has won 60% of his second serve points in this matchup compared to 48% for Zverev. So a very big differential there, 12% more second serve points won across all the meetings, Borna Koric. And if you look at how often they've held serve in these meetings, I know they're on hard courts, but this is you know, lively, as I said, even though it's a late match, it's still going to be lively conditions. 88% holds a serve for Coric and 87 for Zverev. And you feel like the backhand-to-backhand rally does hold up well for Coric in this matchup. Zverev likes to play backhand-to-backhand rallies because he thinks he's going to win most of them, and generally he does. But very, very solid backhand. Coric has got his forehand can be the leaky one for Coric. But over 22.5 games at plus money here, plus 112 with BetRivers, or take the angle that you sort of alluded to, Zverev to win it by 2-1 at plus 260. I think that's where I'd like to be heading here if I was getting involved in a wager on this match.
Yeah, it does look a long one, certainly. Zverev is our tournament pick. We want him to progress, but minus 455 does appear to be a very, very short price against an opponent that's given him big, big problems over the years. Lots of games there. So they're the four matches we're previewing tomorrow on Friday over in Madrid. Two official picks or just the one official pick, Sean?
I'm just taking one official pick. I'm going to be a little bit circumspect. It's a very tricky day, I think, this Friday. So the official pick, the one I feel like represents the most value, is Altmaier to win the opening set, plus 123 BetRivers against Artur Fils.
Yeah, plus 123, Altmaier to win set number one against Artur Fils. If he does win set number one, obviously head across the BetRivers and play the in-play, because I think that the price on Fils is a little bit short, and he's a young lad who might lose his head in that match. I think Altmaier plus 140 in the money line is quite a decent bet as well. Remember, we are plus 4.03 units up now after a good couple of weeks here on the show. And remember, there's extra content on our Instagram page. Sean is over in Madrid. And if you want in-play bets, if you want the insights, if you want to see Sean being absolutely driven wild by the kids who are asking all, it's brilliant entertainment. Even though it's not supposed to be in it, it's fantastic. And tomorrow, you've got Alcaraz there tomorrow. Well, it's going to be some scenes there. He's going to be there tomorrow, so you're going to have real big scenes there. So
great.
It'll be well worth following the Sean's adventures tomorrow with all those Spanish kids trying to meet their idol. And Alcaraz as well.
I'll give them an autograph if they want. Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah, you charge, though. You charge.
I would. 50p a go or something.
Euro signature. Remember, you can follow that on our Instagram page and also on our socials on Twitter at Because We Win. We can follow us at Betting Weekly Studios, and you can download the podcast Game Bet Match on your preferred podcast provider. Easy for me to say. Anyway, yes. Follow Sean's adventures tomorrow. What are you doing for the rest of the night, Sean? Anything planned?
There's a chance I could end up in an Irish pub with the Magnus and some non-Spanish food. Not that I love Spanish food, by the way, but I've got obviously a lot of stuff to do. I've got another show to do tomorrow. I think I might be meeting Rory tomorrow, actually.
Well,
it's Friday. It is Friday.
Well,
tomorrow,
you got to save your powder, because that's going to be that's going to be one wild evening.
I'm doing that, and then once everything's done, then Saturday I definitely will be going out and having a bit of tapas and exploring a bit more of the local culture. People keep moaning at me that I keep going to Irish bars everywhere I go. It's because I like drinking Magnus, and you can't get it anywhere else. You know, you've got no chance in these Spanish bars. If I ask for a Magnus,
sangria,
I'll be like,
get the old sangria.
Don't like it. No, don't like it.
You know, it's getting old music. Mambalea. Get going on.
I'm not wild on that either, to be honest. But that will all be happening Saturday and potentially Sunday. So I'm just keeping myself on an even keel until then. That's what I'm doing.
Well, there you go. We've been given the dangle and the carrot. It could all be going off in Madrid on Saturday and Sunday. Make sure you follow the adventures of Sean and Rory tomorrow. The added bonus. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Lock up your daughters. Madrid doesn't know what to do. Take care. See you later. It's Game Bet Match.